talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, this is going to be a little different show today. So we got Sean Wilson. I guess I intruded on the show this morning.
No, I loved it. I invited you, man.
This is Payback, and this is, today is Tuesday, and this is Stockman's Veterinary Happy Hour.
Happy Hour. That's why I'm in here, because I'm the happy guy.
Happy Hour. And so you are a happy guy. But anyway, it's 36 degrees currently. The winds are out of the southwest at 3 miles an hour. And wind gusts is at 6 miles per hour. So basically, it's not blowing out there. And I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up. But I did. I invited Sean to be on the show today, and sitting right next to him is Dr. Taylor Mouse. She's coming on as soon as I get rid of Sean.
Man, she's pretty.
Yeah, she's a lot prettier than you are, that's for sure. But anyway, so Sean grew up on a farm in Missouri.
Right.
And it was a dairy farm, right?
It certainly was.
So you know how to work.
Twice a day, every day, baby.
Yeah, it's 365 days.
Yeah, no matter if it's your birthday or Christmas or you're sick, those babies got to be milked.
Well, Sean has a couple of tricks that he's going to share with us today. And you guys know Sean. He thinks he's a comedian, but I actually think he's kind of funny. But anyway, he's going to give us a lowdown on the trick that he used to get the cows to the lot with.
Well, anybody that knows anything about cows and calving, you know, when a cow goes to have a calf, they kind of leave the herd and they kind of go find a place to have the calf and all that kind of thing. And so as a dairy farmer, you know, when a cow's not up and she's about ready to calve, then you got to go find her in the calf. Well, I used a horse because we had a pretty good sized place. And so I would go back there. And, of course, it was too much trouble to put a saddle on. So, you know, you just barebacked it and put the halter on the lead rope and took it out there. Anyway, I'd grab these calves, and instead of grabbing them by the ear and the tail and trying to walk an hours-old calf all the way up to the barn, I would put them over the front of the horse, jump up on the horse, and then take the calf and head. Well, cows go right back to where they had the calf if they don't know where the calf is and that. And so basically what I'd do is I'd put this calf across me and get the cow to follow me. I would just start bawling like a newborn baby calf.
And how'd that sound?
It sounded kind of like this right here.
Dr. Mouse is leaving.
And, man, I guarantee it, that old cow's – so one morning – it's colder than old Billy because I grew up south of Kansas City. Anyway, I got this little old milking shorthorn calf across the front of the horse there. And the calf started kind of slipping off because, I mean, she had just had it. I mean, it was still pretty wet. And so I reached down to grab the calf and kind of position it back up on the middle of the horse. And that old Betty turned around and stuck her head right in between the front legs of my horse and just brought him up. Right over me. Boy, I mean, it was that old horse was coming over on me. And so, and if you've ever seen a horse that's been in that situation, they try to get their feet back in under him. So they're kind of, he's kind of twisting and turning and everything. And I pushed that calf off to the side because I know how valuable, it was a heifer.
You were trying to be a hero and save
the calf.
I was
trying to save both of us, you know, but I pushed it off first. And then I squirted out everything except for my lower leg. And that horse come over and just wallered me pretty good. I mean, I was okay, but it was still one of those kind of incidents where pay attention. That's it.
It could have been worse.
Yeah. Now, of course, now when you grow up on a farm, you start learning to make a lot of farm sounds.
Right.
You know, it's like when we were working pigs. You know, we didn't have a lot of pigs, but we would, you know,
I'm glad you brought up pigs, just for
you know, and I dig pig, you know, because we would butcher our own meat, so we'd raise some hogs for that. But if we were cutting pigs, it sounded something similar to this.
Oh
How close am I, doctor? Am I pretty close? So anyway, that's the old farm deal. But I'll tell you right now, even though I despised the work that I had to do when I was growing up, as I got older, I really appreciated the work ethic it taught me about, hey, listen, nothing's for free, you know.
Nope.
And fortunately, I grew up on a farm. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but we had meat at every meal. We had milk if we needed it. I mean, you know, we grew our own vegetables. So it was a farming family operation. My grandparents lived there. My Aunt Gladys lived there. There's like eight of us sat down every meal, you know. So, but it was a great experience.
Well, that's how farms back then supported the family.
Absolutely. That's how you did it. You know, yeah. And when guys came and put up hay, they came in and sat down and ate at the dinner table. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they was the same.
That was it.
Well, you're making our show really popular right now.
Oh.
One of the guys texted in and said, must have been a short horse for Sean to get on a bareback.
Well, there were tree stumps. You know, you learn when you're short. When you're vertically challenged, you learn how to work things, man. You know,
and another listener, oh my God, I'm dying laughing. Gotta love Sean. but you know, for a few minutes here, we got a few minutes
sure. Here.
Let's get to reality.
Right.
You and I talked about it this morning on the oil and gas show.
Yeah.
Oil's $120, $125 a barrel, and people don't realize that. It doesn't just affect you at the gas pump. Farmers use a lot of chemicals.
Anhydrous ammonia. I mean, crying out loud, I was coming across a story. Liquid nitrogen's up 159% since 2020. Okay? Yeah. Anhydrous is shot up 210%. Yeah. And since those kind of things are about 15% of what a row cropper spins,
yep.
That's significant. That's a lot of extra money you got to pay. Yeah. And then plus the diesel and the gas to run your equipment, it's going to get pretty
I mean, if you're
crazy.
Lucky and your cattle and stuff's right there by your house, but if you know, big operations takes a lot of fuel to go around and you got a big ranch and one place to the other, it doesn't sound like much, but it adds to cost and then trucking's going to go up, feed's going to go up.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to grow that feed. Somebody's going to have to grow that hay for your animals. I mean, even if you're a rancher, you're going to be affected, no doubt about it, because like you and I said, we'll probably be doing our shows from home, you know.
I had to set up studio at home and say, hey, boss, we're going to do it at this, or you'll have to come get me.
But I'm glad you got the doc on today, because veterinarians, when I was a kid, I mean, you know, milk fever, I mean, you always had them out there, and I have to just give it up, because morning, noon, or night, that vet would be out there. And, of course, you know, as a youngster growing up, the veterinarians, they had the coolest stuff. You know, he had a little spray hose in the back of his truck, you know, to put water in the stainless steel bucket. He had the little drawers, and they all had a little light on them, you know. So it was a really big deal, and I really looked up to those veterinarians as I was growing up, not realizing just how important they were to the operation. You know, when you're a kid, you don't think about stuff like that. But, you know, when you're the owner, you know, you've got that dairy cow there and she's milk fever. If she don't get up, you know, that costs you that production. You know, it's, you know, pulling calves. I mean, it was just, I just take my hats off to veterinarians because they can't communicate with their patients. It's pretty cool that that's why only
the smartest of the smart. Hey, Betsy. You feel that?
Yeah, you know how many medical doctors there are right now that couldn't make it through vet school? And they became doctors. I mean, you know, so my hat's off to you, young lady. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, big
can
animal.
Can you sew some fingers back on? That's
oh, crap.
I guess that's my next question right there.
Well, if she'd have been around then, she might have been able
right,
to.
Yeah, she wasn't born, you know.
We could have called you Stubby instead of no fingers.
Well, I've been called a lot of things, Jimmy. But I'll tell you, I really appreciate you sitting in on the show with me this morning.
Oh, I love to.
I appreciate you giving me a little time here because you and I were talking about, you know, mimicking those sounds to try to get the animals to do what you need them to do. And so, you know, you go with what you got.
It's either See, nowadays we don't have to do that. We rattle a sack of cake.
Yeah, right. Well, our cows didn't know what a bag of food was.
Well, they were toe sacks back then.
Yeah.
Now it's paper sacks and they make a noise.
Well, we didn't throw out cake. Of course, we ground up silage, inchlage, ground up corn, put it in an upright silo,
you were
or a pit silo.
You had to.
We fed hay every day and, just in the bunks.
Yep.
And that old manure would get, butthole deep to a 9-foot man,
Well, this listener said, that's enough. No.
Okay, no doubt about it. It's probably my wife.
No.
She loves me on the radio. I got a volume control and an off switch. Jimmy, keep up the good work, brother.
Thanks for joining us, Sean.
You bet, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, we'll be right back with Dr. Mouse. She probably got a patient under right now, probably coming awake, and she said, I didn't know it was going to be this long. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime, and I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. People talk about farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. We do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Their genetics work. They've got proof. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale is Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. Selling 100 18-month-old Red Angus Bulls, 30 registered bred fall calving heifers, and 15 registered open heifers. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 p.m. B&L values low inputs with high efficiency, added pounds through genetic merit, and honest females that make it happen year after year. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale, Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. For catalog and videos, log on to blredangus.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Okay, Comedy Central's over on the Ag Show already. Thanks again, Sean Wilson, for stopping by and sharing some of your... what do they call it? Imitations of a pig and a baby calf and stress getting the mom to follow it. Anyway, it's 39 degrees, 36 degree wind chill. The winds are basically nothing out of the south. Southeast at 5 miles an hour, gusting up to 9. Humidity's at 48. And we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming on. Well, Tuesdays is always Stockman's Veterinary Happy Hour. And instead of doing a live read today, we got the live doctor in the studio. And welcome, Dr. Mouse.
Thank you.
And I'm getting better at calling you Dr. Mouse with respect, but I always wanted to call you Taylor. But anyway, so you've done me wonders this winter. I mean, this has been a weird winter for everybody calving.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
care who you are. Everybody I talk to has the same scenarios that I've been going through. And your little heating hut, you took a calf that had been cold for 6 or 8 hours after it was born and dried off. And when you sent me that video of him walking around the vet's morning, I actually cried a little bit. I was just like, it's a miracle. Larry.
Yeah,
because I took him to Brahms. So
that little box has worked wonders.
Oh, yeah. I never even thought about it. You can warm it up on the outside all you want, but until it starts breathing some warm air, that was crazy. That works good. Well, you're busy. You've been busy, but your busy season's coming up on us, and we can start with bulls.
Yes, we've already started fertility testing some, but highly recommend let's get them tested because we found out last fall there were a few that may have been checked early, right after the big freeze in February, and they checked good then. But they still had enough sperm that was still good, but later found out that they were not any good.
Right.
And so we had a lot of open cows through the fall. So highly recommend let's get those bulls tested here 4 to 6 weeks before, at least before we plan on turning out, in case we've got a problem. We've got a little bit of time to go get a new bull or get the ones that you've got retested and make sure that we've got good bulls to kick out, and that way we get some cows bred.
Yeah, and bull sales are going on right now. That way if you get them tested now and you need one, there's no reason for you not to miss a bull sale in Western Oklahoma, because we got plenty going on and we got good bulls. We got really good bulls. Well, after the bulls comes the cows.
So I like to start, on the AI side of things, which is what you and I have talked about here recently, a minimum of 60 days post-calving to make sure that the uterus has had time to heal, the cows are good and going, the calves are good. To look at setting up cows in order to AI or get them synced up and ready to go to kick out on the bulls. As far as like the heifer side of things go, these heifers that are coming up, getting ready to breed for the first time, think about starting them 30 days ahead of the cows, so that way they get an extra cycle at the end, so that way they can catch up to the cows.
Right.
Just so that way if you calve them all at the same time, they take a little bit longer to heal, a little bit longer to catch up. They're still getting their teeth in, still figuring out how to maintain body weight as they're still growing as well.
And growing up.
Yeah. So it takes a little more for them, so that gives them at least an extra cycle, maybe two, to catch up to the cows. So that way, hopefully, you can keep the younger generation in your herd, and that way they don't get called out for being well outside of what's your calving window. Hopefully, everybody has a calving window.
Right.
That helps on being able to feed. That way you know if you've got a cow that is a month and a half or two out, you're feeding them good, and then they all calve within a 30 to 60-day window. Then you can dump the feed to them. That way you're not feeding those lactating heifers more, and there's still a few of them in there that are shorter bred that are going to, those calves are going to get quite a bit bigger. They're getting fed in that last trimester.
Well, I got Dr. Taylor Mouse, owner, and she does all the operations there. And her mom is the operator, but I'm serious. She does the operations. Dr. Mouse does the operations. But she's on the show with me today, and Stockman's Vet Veterinary Clinic is here in Elk City. And she, you've what, 6 months, 7 months? Has it been that long? Or has it been longer?
Nine.
You're at nine. I was sitting there thinking, whoa, wait a minute, this year's gone by fast. So yeah, it was last summer.
Yep,
yeah, exactly right. If you guys got any questions while she's here, the text line is open, 225-9697, 580-225-9697. My allergy pill's just now kicking in, and I took it on time, a little late, but on time. But so, you know, my little experiment I had going on. And then I went to a sale in Texas down there by Wellington to the Bradley 3 Ranch down there. And there was a professor there from Texas A&M. And I don't remember his name. I don't remember names good. It's on there. But it, beside the point is, you know, one of his things was synchronization of your cattle, how important that is. And it hit it on the nail head, what I've tried. First time I've ever tried it. I mean, besides AI, and I'm talking about just with bulls, and you can do it. What's your thoughts on how important or how unimportant or how valuable that is? What do you think about the way I did my deal?
Yeah, the synchronization side of things to make sure that everybody is ready to come in heat and just being able to set them up and, like I said, group them tighter together. Makes your feeding, makes when your calves are due, the times that you don't have to sit out there all hours of the night for months.
60
on.
Instead, 1 month.
Yeah. Instead of multiple months sitting out there watching cows calve, you get them there pretty close together, numerous calves a day. Helps you have a more uniform group of calves at the end,
yep.
Which helps them sell much better.
Yep.
If that way you're not like, well, this group of calves is close to 600 and I need to get rid of them, but I've still got some 200 and 300 pounders from a longer calving season. It helps you be able to get rid of everybody all at once, and then that way next year we're not looking at some 1,000 pound calves that are just getting pulled. Yeah. We've had a little bit of that come through just because of some that got bred way late. But it's definitely syncing them together, helping everybody be tight and uniform, helps your pocketbook.
Yeah, because back in the older days, 20, 30 years ago, you know, you turned the bulls in. A lot of guys just left the bulls in all the time, and some people still do. And that's just the way – that's their operation. That's their business. But nowadays, as tight as your profit margin is if you can get everything born within let's use the Jimmy Taylor time frame. What is it, 52 days, if everything, you know, if they're not bred and within 52 days, he gets rid of them.
Yeah.
Because all they're doing is going to cost you anxiety and money, because they're way past when everybody else is already done and you need to turn them out in a different pasture.
Usually once they get behind,
because you
once,
got that once.
They stay behind.
Yeah, they stay
That's
behind.
That's the hard part, is getting them caught back
yeah.
up.
And so get rid of them, you know, just or sell them somebody that doesn't care about the time frame. But it's just one of those deals where money's money. And so you got that going on. But you can synchronize them if you're using bulls.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, that's what we did this time. It was the first time I ever done that. And I'm impressed.
Yeah, it worked out pretty
but
good.
But we're going to AI this year. So anyway, because we're after a different type of calf production. And you can, and I can't afford to go buy all – I can't – Una Moss. I can't afford to go buy bulls like that. So we're going
to – And it's one of those on those first calf heifers to get a low birth weight calf out of it, just to get a calf out of her to say that she can do it, that she can handle one to term, that she can have it, that she can care for it,
what
she
milks like, yeah.
that she can take care of it. Just getting that first calf on the ground is the main thing. Doesn't really matter. It may not be your most profitable calf, may not be exactly what you're looking for, but a calf is better than nothing.
Yep.
So we like to strive just to get her bred, get one out of them, and then look at genetics after that, and then breed more for what you want.
And that's kind of what we're doing there. So you got so we got a lot of lice problems going on right now, but are they going to go away when things warming up? Or you still recommend treating them?
Right now, with the weather being up and down like it is, I recommend treating them just so that way you don't have some that are completely bald, but it also does pass through the herd and can pass down to those calves. So that way if we get these cows treated as we're running them through. I like to treat everybody right now.
For lice.
Yeah.
All right, so there's all kinds of different ways to treat for lice. Talk to me about the different methods and what you're doing.
So what we run is a product called Cleanup 2. That's one that if it's just a lice, that's just a lice treatment. If we've gone through recently, like fall time when we pregged, if we went through and wormed everybody, so parasites aren't our main concern, then we just focus on using like a product like Cleanup in order to go through and just catch the lice. But if we haven't been dewormed in a year or so, then we check fecal loads. And if worming is needed, then we can use like Cydectin, and it does have a lice label on it as well.
Okay. And then speaking of worming, you heard me mention your name here a month or so ago on the radio when I said you and Joey might kill me for saying this, and then you actually agreed with me. Can you overworm, or do you?
Yes, you can. There are a lot of herds. I mean, I'll use my family's, for example. We went through over the fall, whenever we went through and pregged everything, went through and just, as we got them into the pen, went through and picked up fecal samples from 8 or 10 different piles, combined everything, put them in 3 different tubes to set them up as different fecals. And if I remember correctly, there was 1 egg out of all of those different fecals that I ran. We only had 1 egg. On the whole thing. So there's no need to waste the money, to waste that one little parasite that is there, that it could become resistant to what we're using to deworm. And then as fast as they can replicate, then we run into where we don't have any wormers that are effective. So I like to go through and do a fecal egg count and see if worms are our problem. If they are, then we can double up on different classes of dewormer and get the parasites treated. But there's a lot of people that have wormed regularly because that's the way that their dad and their granddad did it. And so that's the way that they were taught how to do it. And so that's just what they do when they could save that money and put it towards like a synchronization protocol.
Yeah.
That, and not have resistant parasites.
Wormer's not cheap.
No, it's not.
A jug of wormer's not cheap. Well, you touch on the wormer. Now, that article that I discussed there a month or two ago, it did say if you were bringing new cattle into your herd, they could carry a new parasite.
Yes.
So that's one time that you would worm, even if it's just one bull.
Yes.
It might, you know, make sure that bull at least is wormed.
Yeah, and that's, if you don't have a complete closed herd, that's something we discuss and go through, and that changes worming protocol, that changes what we do with vaccine side of things, changes what we look for, what we do moving forward, just depending on the type of herd that you have.
I seen a deal on Oklahoma cattle the other night on social media, and you see all kinds of stuff on that page, but somebody come on there and ask about the injectable wormer. And there was lots of there's a lot of vets on social media. I don't know if you know that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of vets on social media, but they what's the difference between pour on and injectable? What one of them's got to do something different than the other, because pour on gets a lot of things on the outside, but an injectable wouldn't.
Yep, the injectable takes care of the internal parasites. I don't care for it as much, just because it is an injectable. It's something else that we're putting in them versus the pour-on, where we catch the grubs. So that's why we keep rid of all the grubs. They take care of the lice.
Helps with flies for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for a little bit. So, I mean, I find it better to use the pour-on dewormer. That's just a personal preference. It's completely up to whatever anybody wants to use.
What about rotating the different types of pour-ons? Is that necessary?
Not necessarily. Cydectin has on their label that they haven't found any resistance to any of their stuff so far. But there are some, if we're having a worm load issue and we run them on a round of Cydectin and we check them in 4 to 6 weeks and we're not, I mean, we're better, but we're not completely gone on the parasite load, then I go back with an oral dewormer. I use a product called Synanthic is one that I'll go back and catch one. Or if one's got a severe load of parasites and they're anemic and they look more poor doers, then I'll hit them with Cydectin and Synanthic at the same time.
And that oral, is that like in the mouth or poor? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Oral. Right. Yep. Just goes in their mouth.
Let's take a break. Let's come back and we'll finish up with you, because I know I'm surprised your phone hadn't gone off with your mom. Are you coming back? So anyway, Dr. Taylor Mouse is on with from Stockman's Veterinary Clinic here in Elk City. She's on. We're talking about what you guys need to be thinking about getting ready to do with your cattle. It's here. It's that time of the year. We just got done calving and we got to get ready for breeding season already. So anyway, be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 7th. 3,248 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 562 brought 176. 9 at 711 brought 158. 4 at 774 brought 154. 41 at 833 brought 146. 14 at 975 brought 135. 11 head of heifers at 412 brought 178. 20 at 658 brought 146. 11 at 730 brought 139. 16 at 755 brought 138.50. 9 at 886 brought 133. Butcher cows were 15 to 95. Butcher bulls brought 93 to 121.50. Pairs were 1,100 to 1,925. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, the wind chill's gone away, so it's 38 degrees and calm with humidity at 48. So it's warming up there nicely. It should, let's see, what are we, we got 10 degrees to go for the day if we're going to meet what the forecast is. So anyway, I'll have that up for you in the next segment, or last segment. Meanwhile, Dr. Taylor Mounce from Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic is in the house with me today because it's Stockman's Veterinary Happy Hour today. So I didn't have to read her live read because I got her here live. Why would I read her commercial while I'm here? But anyway, we were talking about bulls, cows, wormers. Now we got calves. What do we say we're going to keep them, some replacement heifers? What do we, where we need to start at?
So start wise is, I like to try to group stuff together and make it as easy as possible. So that way we're not like, well, this week we got to go gather calves and then in 2 weeks we got to get cows. So if we're getting cows up at 60 days post calving to look at, setting up synchronization protocol, I usually start 60 days, a calf at 60 days old, run them through and get them around a black leg.
Yep.
And then 4 to 6 weeks after that, run them back through and get them some more, another black leg, the virus shield, 6VL5 is what I use, so the Vibrio Lepto, especially on a set of heifers if you're planning on keeping, and then I run Presponse, which is a manhymia, helps with pneumonia. I run those, and the main thing is to get them ready ahead of weaning. So that way, whenever we get to when we're ready for weaning, they've had their shots at least two rounds, if not three. So that way, when we pull them off and wean them, we're not having to run them through and give vaccines at time of weaning, because the stress of weaning is enough to help cause them get sick. So that way, if we get them vaccinated early, and just because we vaccinate a calf doesn't mean it'll build immunity. Just one vaccine builds a memory for that and it makes an antibody for it, but then they need a booster.
Right.
Almost every vaccine requires a booster. So we do those 4 to 6 weeks after our initial one, so that way we can hopefully build immunity towards those bacteria and stuff that we're trying to...
What age do they do calfhood on heifers?
So heifers need to be between 4 and 12 months.
Okay.
And ideally they're off the cow when we do that, just because that is a modified live vaccine, and if you stick them back out on the cow... and the cow's never been exposed to a modified live, and she's bred back, there is a chance that she could abort. So I like to wait until we're weaned, and at least a few weeks weaned.
Something today. I didn't know that. I didn't think about that.
I mean, that's why they give such a wide, it's such a wide range there on it. But I like to do it whenever after we wean. Let them get a couple weeks, let them get settled, let them get going on feed.
Right.
And then that way you decide which ones you're going to keep.
Maybe 2 or 3 months down... 2 or 3 months later after you start weaning them, then they're not so stressed, and then you can bring them in.
And you decide which ones you're going to keep. If you decide you've got some culls that you just want to go ahead and sell off, then you don't have that extra money in those.
That makes sense. See, I learned something. I'm 60 years old, Aaron, and I learned something. What about you? Anyway, okay, so if you're not going to keep them, whether they're say they're steers and or bulls and bull calf and heifers, if you're not going to keep them and you're going to take them to the sale barn, not the feedlot, then what do you recommend for both?
At least same first round of blackleg, and then 4 to 6 weeks later get through the blackleg and at least the manhymia, at least to help a preventative for the pneumonia. And so that's why I usually get them two sets, because you're not going to have them as long. But it also depends on... every vaccine scenario is different, because we've got different people that buy different calves that may not be ready for what most people would call a weaning age, but they buy some smaller calves through the sale barn, and so we vaccinate those a little different than I would if they were your home-raised closed herd that you're planning on selling. It really just depends on the scenario, so that's why we sit down and talk about what you're planning on doing, if you're buying and selling stuff all the time, different cattle moving through, different parts of the country need different vaccines. So it's really one.
Give me an example of that. If you know one off the top, if you
not
don't,
off, not then, off
I mean, they got the Texas fever tick down south. So we won't. There was an article out on that today, and I was going to read it before you got here, but Sean saved me. So, but the according to this article, there's a lot more deer in Mexico now, and they're coming across the river, and they got that Texas or that Mexico Mexican tick. Fever tick on them, and the herds aren't it's not getting any better down there. I mean, what are you going to do? Just put a bunch of guineas out there to get to the ticks. But I just wondered because I could see, but when you're porting from one state to the other, that calfhood on the heifers on breeding stock is the main thing, right?
Yes, because there are certain states that require it in order to get them imported into their state, but most of them, and even on like the show side of things, got to have that in order for health papers to go to most shows.
Speaking of shows, you've been pretty busy with shows, haven't you? Tell everybody what you've been doing to get ready to help some of these kids with OIE.
The Oklahoma Youth Expo is coming up this week and next week, and all the kids around here are getting ready. I think the gilts leave either this afternoon or in the morning.
According to Sarah, they were leaving today.
Yeah. Some of them are leaving today. I think Elk City's leaving tomorrow. Then we've still got the goats, the sheep, heifers, steers. And we've been writing health papers, getting all these kids ready to go. That way they can get up there and show their stock.
And not have no disappointment, like, where's your health paper at? Mm-hmm. What kind of health papers do they require, like on a swine?
On the swine, they have to just show proof that they've had their pseudo-rabies and brucellosis testing done.
Okay.
So we have to have done that December 1 or after, which all the schools around here have been really good about that. And we got all that done right there the first week of December.
Right.
And got them all on their way. So,
what about sheep and goats?
They just require their official ID, their official scrapies tag. And that's all that they require.
What is that tag?
It's just a specific tag that the breeders have.
Right.
I haven't had any personal dealings yet with anybody that's had.
I'd never heard of it, so that's why I was asking.
It's just their tag that they've got.
Well, let's go to something you do know about, heifers and steers. What are they requiring?
So the steers usually have to have one of those 840 yellow EID buttons.
Yep.
And so we go look at all of them and make sure they've got those buttons in their ears, and we can write those numbers down if they do. If not, because we've got to set this weekend, we've got to go put some buttons in so that way those kids can go show.
Go.
And then the heifers either their calf hood clip, or they're moving to the calf hood buttons. So some of my clients have buttons. Some of them had some clips. So we just, all those numbers have to be documented on the health paper.
Right.
And
what's the button for the steers? It's been a long time since I showed steers. What's that little button, yellow button you're talking about for the steers?
It's just an electronic identification button. It's just, that's their number. That's the only number. It's called an 840 button. That's their official ID.
Okay.
That it goes with that steer.
And what does it do? I mean, what's the...
That's the official ID for them. That's just his ID. And then, I mean, then they'll put OIE tags and stuff like that in them as well. But that's not anything that's official that has to go through me.
Well, according to OIE's Facebook page, when they announced they had pen assignments and they put them out, and I seen some people were like, I asked for 8 and you only gave me 3. And those guys were saying, believe me, you'll be able to put all your animals in those 3 stalls. But they said this is the biggest OIE they are going to ever have. It's a big one. And it's crazy.
It's like every year it seems to get bigger.
Bigger.
We're getting more and more kids.
It was already the biggest youth stock show in the world. Why does it need to get bigger? Because there's more kids showing, huh? But anyway, what else do we need to wrap up with the cattle or for getting ready? How about you got any recommendations for minerals and stuff they need to be eating right now before breeding season even gets here?
You are welcome. Yeah, the co-op, the Elk City Co-op here in town has the wind and rain, just a mineral, just an all-purpose mineral.
Yep.
I mean, definitely have some out. helps the cows. And you can also go down there and talk to them and see what all options they have, because I don't know exactly what all they carry. Yeah. And there's some things that if we discuss on your specific herd needs something a little different, then I can call and talk to them and we can discuss getting they'll keep some stuff if it's something that we need to keep in stock.
Because with the mamas just having their babies right now, and some of them are 2 months old, some of them are just had them and stuff, are they lacking anything? Are they getting the calf sucking some certain like magnesium and stuff out of the mama more than she normally would that needs to be replaced?
Some, if the cows aren't up to par on like body condition.
Yeah.
That's one thing I forgot to hit on. Like want cows to be like body condition score 6 out of 9 whenever they calve usually.
Right.
And hopefully keep them at a 5 to 6 whenever we go to breed. But the main thing is if their body condition's up and they're kept up on feed and they're well taken care of, then usually their body can handle most of it. But keeping an all-purpose mineral out year-round is a good idea.
Just put your lick blocks or whatever you use that, lick tubs or whatever. Those heifers that are in my pear pasture, I got the normal. I got the brown, yellow, and white blocks. That's what I just call them. Anyway, I got them out there. But I did get some trace minerals that some of the companies put out that you can buy down here at the co-op or Sarah at co-op or probably down at Cordell or something that puts them in there that just to help them you know, a little bit longer, more minerals in there like magnesium and stuff like that to help them out a little bit, because we got a pretty powerful program coming up for those 25 girls coming up pretty quick, or actually 21. But anyway, I just want to make sure they're ready. But you can get them too fat, I would think.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, because I've seen that. I see it. And you can get them too good a shape. And the bulls you can get in too good a shape too, can't you?
Yes, because if they get to where they're
lazy,
over-conditioned, yeah, they can get where they're pretty lazy and don't want to do what they need to do.
I'll get you next cycle, girl. Come on back.
Especially because whenever we get here into this breeding time, it's going to be coming into summer.
It's going to be warm.
Yeah.
It's going to be warm and they get to do it. Well, anything else we need to cover to help out anybody? They can actually just call you. That's what I do. I go down there and see her. I went down there and see her because we went from a bull program to AI program in 7 days on these cows that we're doing out here. So I went down there to ask her, this is what all needs. My calves are going to need work. I need to brand these heifers. And when do I need to brand them? Because I don't want to brand them while we're trying to breed them to upset them. Because cattle are, you know, they're kind of getting a little... like they want participation trophies. You know, kind of act like some of the kids raised around here anymore, but no, I'm just kidding. But I need to make a plan.
That's the main thing, is to have a plan. And speaking of plans, we discussed yesterday, like the antibiotic deal that's coming out in next year,
yes,
in 23. That thing, the main thing with that is you need a VCPR. So veterinary client-patient relationship, that is a main thing. To have. So that's what you and I do all the time. You come down, we talk.
Because if you're just Joe Blow that had never went and seen a vet and comes in and said, I need this, you're going to look at him and say, no.
It's one of those. If we don't have a relationship and it can't just
you
be...
You don't know your...
If you come in once a year, that's not a relationship. That's just you came in that one time and we can get you something there for a couple months. There's not actually like a set time frame, but I like to do at least... see something every 3 months, 3 to 4 months.
Bring your dog in, something just to come see her.
Yeah. It's one of those, I mean, we just got to make sure that we have a relationship that's good, that shows that
you,
way. If
you have to have trust.
Yes. Yeah, because I have to be able to trust that what you're planning on doing with the antibiotics is right. That you're not going to overuse, misuse, underdose, anything like that on just like the antibiotics that are on the human side of things that you can currently get at like Atwood's.
Right.
That's their main thing with this new antibiotic control that's coming out, is they're just wanting to make sure that antibiotics that are being used
properly,
that they're being used properly, that the dosages are correct, that we're using them for their correct purposes.
And they're being stored properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the main thing. It's just come by.
Is the dash in my pickup count?
No. Okay. It's probably not a very good place to keep them.
So, anyway, Dr. Oh, we might have one question before we go. Let's see. Here we go. Let's see what it is. This is your first time. Oh, somebody just texting a picture. There you go. First time heifer. First of the year, 69 to go. Guess what? I only got one to go.
There you go.
So anyway, that's a cute baby. Anyway, hey, that looks like a heifer calf too. I think her foot's bigger than the calf. So anyway, that worked out good. Thanks for texting that in. Dr. Taylor Mouse, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
I know you.
You
were busy, and so you better get back down there to your operations. Because I know your mother's blowing your phone up. So, anyway, if you guys got any questions, she has the full setup down there. They did a lot of reworks and cleaning up and got stuff going on. And she's got pens big enough where you can bring your cattle in like we're going to for AI. And it's a great setup. I mean, it's still Stockman's. I mean, Gail and Fred had it going on there. And you took it over. So yes, now sir. You got a set. Now you're going to be a legend. Because Gail was a legend. And so anyway, and Dr. Ann's fault was a legend, man. That guy come out in some crazy weather for us back in the 80s. And short sleeve shirt. And didn't care. I mean, he's from Kansas. He was used to the cold weather. So anyway, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And to all the ladies down there, I said hi.
I will.
All
thank
right.
you.
Well, we'll be right back after this with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Range Forecast, and I will give you your market and hay update. I'm sorry I made you guys wait so long, but Dr. Mouse and Sean are way more important right now. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Updating my weather. There we go. We're 40 degrees. And now we got a wind chill again. 38 degrees is our wind chill. The winds are south-southeast, 3 miles an hour, gusting up to, let's go tropical storm, 8 miles an hour. Anyway, today, mostly cloudy, 48 degrees. Winds out of south-southeast at 3 to 5 miles an hour. Tonight, low is 24, and it's going to be a little chilly. But the winds are going to come up out of the southwest, so it's going to warm us up nicely tomorrow. 56 degrees, and we are going to have some south-southwest winds tomorrow, up 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, 27. Thursday, 44. Thursday night, a 40% chance of snow, low around 19 miles an hour, and winds out of the north at 18 miles an hour. Friday, 20% chance of snow, slight chance. Anyway, 41 for a high. Friday night, it's going to be a little chilly, 15 degrees. And then Saturday, back up to 56 degrees. And in the Long Ranger, I see nothing but 60s and 70s next week. So it's going to be good. Only moisture I see in the forecast is this one Thursday night. I mean, we'll take a snow. I'll take 2 or 3 inches of snow. That'll give us a little bit of hope. Well, I'm sure you guys have been watching the stock market, and it's crazy. This morning I reported wheat was, let me tell you here real quick, what I reported wheat in on the early morning report was 1121. Well, as of right now, let's get back to that. And this is cash grain prices in Oklahoma, 1121. Right now it is, it's going back up. Our goal is down to 1030. Now it's higher than it was this morning. We got it at 1140, hard red winter wheat. Corn is at 737. They were all in the red a while ago, but soybeans. And before I started the show, now it's come back up. So 715 on Milo. Soybeans are 1593. Cotton's hanging there at 116, 117 on per pound on cash grain prices. Let's do the live cattle and feeder cattle because they were taking a hit this morning and then they recovered and was doing really good. So we got live cattle for April, 139, 115. Live cattle on June is 135.02. Live cattle on August, 135.85. Live cattle on October is 143.15. And feeder cattle for March are down, 153.20. But feeder cattle for April are up slightly, 160.225. Hogs were in the red yesterday, last night, and this morning. Now they're in the green. April is 102.870. May is 107.65, and lean hogs for June is 113.92. Let's take a peek, see what our oil's doing. 125 a barrel, almost 126 a barrel for West Texas, and so I'm going to take a wild guess and say Brent is around 128, 129, because as of 10:30 this morning, President Biden announced that he was shutting Russia off. Well, there's lots going on. If you hurry and get on the internet right now and you're wanting to buy some Red Angus cattle, whether it be pairs or bulls, Woodward's got it going on at 1 o'clock. They're having the Red Angus sale. Here's some of the results from the Elk City sale last Friday. 1,803 head went through the ring. Steers weighing 326 to 232. We're bringing 232. Weighing 409, 199. Weighing 552, 167. Weighing 647, 162. 719, 150, 50. Heifers weighing 410, we're bringing 173. 508, 162, 50. 634 pound heifers, we're bringing 145. Butcher cows, we're bringing up to 95, 50. Bulls, we're bringing up to 117. Bred cows bringing up to 1450, and pairs are bringing up to 1650. Looks like the steers and the heifers, those weights are down a little bit, but we got so much going on in the world right now, I'm surprised anybody can keep anything straight. But Woodward is having their bull and cow sale today, which is already probably over. But right now at 1 o'clock, here in just a few minutes, they're going to sell a lot of nice Red Angus bulls. They got some pairs that were 2 to 3 year olds, and then they got some black cows with some red calves on them, and then they had some open and bred heifers, Red Angus, that they were selling. Tomorrow at Hobart, they got quite a sale going on down there, so if you got time and you're needing some replacement cattle, this might be the time to get it, because I honestly, watching these prices on these bred cows and pairs, they've been creeping up the last 3 weeks, and I think they're going to keep creeping up. Hobart Stockyards, they will be having their sale tomorrow. They got 60 3 to 5 year old heavy bred, and some of those already got calves on the ground, so they must be really heavy bred. And then they have 75 head of aged cows, and those aged cows are bred. Some of them's got calves, and they were out of Corn, Oklahoma, and I think them come from the Jimmy Hines ranch, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot going on the sale barns, and we got just all kinds of good stuff going on. And everybody, keep the faith. What's going on? It's just crazy that our oil's doing this, what this stuff, but it affects more than just gasoline. The markets, it's affecting our markets. The grain markets are crazy. And the Ukraine-Russian deals has overwhelmed the news and our ag news. And they keep forgetting about what's going on down in Brazil and Argentina and Paraguay. They're in the middle of their soybean harvest, and that's why soybeans are staying up so high, is because they're anywhere from 7 to 30% less soybeans than they made last year. So that's keeping the soybean going on. And then we're in the middle of a drought here. We don't even know what our wheat crop's going to look like for a while. So anyway, you guys have a great day, and thank you, Dr. Taylor Mouse, for coming, stopping by the studio and coming on the show. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless everybody.
It's loaded with action and suspense. This is KECO, Elk City.